Good morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect.
I like movies. Some of them are even worth watching. There was a series of movies out a few years ago called The Transformers. Y'all remember those? The Transformer movies. They didn't catch my attention too much, but my grandson thinks they are wonderful. And he's got all of those, I guess they're cars. Cars, trucks, airplanes, he's got them all. And he, every time I see him, he has to show me the newest one and how it changes. And Papa does this and it does that, and the wings move over here and the wheels pop out over here, and it's a totally different thing. I didn't realize how big those were. As of last count that I saw, there were, I think, 7 of those movies that had been made. 7 Transformer movies. And they tell me there's another 4 in the works. They're going to bypass Star Wars pretty soon. Transforming is apparently a big thing in our society, especially with young people. So that got me thinking. Transform. Transform. And I looked it up, and it says that transform is to make a thorough or dramatic change in the form, appearance, and character. A thorough and dramatic change in form, in appearance, and in character. Paul says we need to be transformed. We need to transform. We need to change if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to live up to the responsibilities that Jesus gives us, the responsibilities that come with the pleasures and the benefits of being a person who belongs to the Christ. Paul says you need to transform. You need to change your form, your appearance, and your character. Form. Form is the very shape that we take. We are to change the way we're shaped. Now, I'm not talking about physical appearance. My doctor says I need to get in better shape, and I keep telling him round is a shape. Some of us could stand to change our shape, but that's not the shape that Paul is talking about when he says we need to be transformed. The renewing of our mind. Because you see, the way we think, what's in our minds is what controls how we look. Oh, now wait a minute, Leon. I can't change my mind and change the very way I look. Yeah, you can. You absolutely can. When our heads are not right, those around us can tell. They know. I tell the story sometimes, it's a true story, about walking into the first, in the most markets, most TV markets, Cincinnati is no exception. All the engineers from town, the radio and TV engineers, we get together every so often. We used to do it once a month. Have a little lunch, a little conversation. What are you working on? What are you working on? Can I help you? What do you need help with? What do I need help with? And it's just kind of a gathering of people who are doing the same things and working together for the market. We ignore the salespeople that fight with each other all the time. Engineers got to get along. And my first meeting, I'm standing over there talking to one of the guys. He says, have you met so-and-so yet? I said, no. He said, oh, you know. You will. He'll be here. And I said, what do you mean? What do you say? He says, he'll walk in the room and the first thing you're going to do is double up your fist. Oh, come on. You can't be, nobody's. I mean, give the guy a chance. Give me a chance to get to know the guy, to meet him, okay? He just grinned. And he walked in the room. I knew who he was. As soon as he walked in the room, the way he walked into that room, the way he didn't walk, he strutted. The way he walked into that room, the way he took, they just acted like everybody owed him everything. And I saw a number of people in the room just kind of automatically pull up their fist a little bit, you know. And I realized I was doing it too. The way he looked told me about him. The way he carried himself. And it happens. It happens with us. Our form is modified or changed by what's in our minds. I was watching a football game a while back, and I heard the commentator say something along the lines of, "This game's over. We're in the third quarter." And he said, "This game is over." He said, just as the camera pans across, he says, "Look at the sidelines over there of that other team. You can look at them and tell they're beat. They're done. Look at the way they hold their shoulders, the way their heads are, the facial expressions. Their form says they're beat. They're done." And we can do the same thing. Our minds, what we think about, will control our form. What we think about will control how we stand. What we think about, what's in our hearts, will control our posture. The way we feel will show to the world. And our form is supposed to change. We're supposed to be transformed in our minds when we become Christians. Paul knew that. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. If you're an underliner, underline this if you don't have it already. If you're a young person and you look around and you got to memorize something for lads to leaders, or you got to memorize something because your Sunday school teacher said so, memorize this one. Philippians 4, 8 and 9, Paul says, "Finally, brother, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." Put them in your mind. Put them in your brain. Put them in your heart. Focus on them, because it will change the way you feel and it will change your form. It'll change the way you carry yourself. It'll change the way you look. Most of us know Winnie the Pooh. Remember Tigger? Tigger bouncing all over the place. And he's got his little song, and it's upbeat and it's happy. And as Tigger's bouncing across the screen, "Here comes Eeyore. What's wrong?" And you can just look at Eeyore and you know this is one unhappy little donkey. The way he carries himself, because of what's in his heart, because of what's in his mind. Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I was not blessed with being able to walk this earth with Jesus in a bodily form. But I cannot imagine the Jesus that I see in Scripture walking around the earth like Eeyore. I don't believe it. I believe Jesus had a smile on his face. I believe Jesus enjoyed life. I believe Jesus cared about people, and it showed in the way he walked and the way he talked and the things he said and the things he did. And we put him on when we're baptized into him. We need to get our minds transformed, and that will change our form. And our form will show Jesus. Our form is supposed to be like Jesus. We need to be transformed in our form. Next, we need to be transformed in our appearance. Isn't that the same thing as form? No, no, it's not at all. Form is what I present to the world. Appearance is what the world sees. Appearance is the way we look to other people. And they're connected, absolutely. It said that clothes make the man. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know they have an influence. They affect the way that people see us. I can remember my first job as a chief engineer at a radio station. My first day on the job, I got up and I got ready to go to work, and Brenda looked at me and she said, go right back in there and get out of those jeans and that flannel shirt and put your suit pants on. I don't think I owned a pair of Dockers at the time, but that's what she was talking about. Put on a nice pair of pants. Put on a button-down, a Sunday shirt. And I said, I'm going to be crawling around in that station all over the place. She said, roll up a pair of jeans and take them with you. Get a pair of overalls. She said, you are a department head in that radio station. You're a member of management. And you need to look like you're a member of management. You need to look like you know what you're doing. You need to look like you're competent and capable and confident. Well, Brenda, okay, guys, how many of you ever won an argument with your wife over clothes? I went in and I changed my pants, I changed my shirt, I put on a nice pair of Sunday shoes, I rolled up my jeans and a t-shirt in a roll and carried them in there and stuck them in the back of the shop. And I had to introduce myself as the new chief engineer. Oh, you're the engineer? You're the engineer? News director looked at me and said, never saw an engineer dress nice before. That was Monday. Tuesday afternoon, general manager came around. He said, hey, Leon, a department head meeting is Wednesday at 10 o'clock. Be sure you know that. Get on your calendar. I walked into the department head meeting a few minutes early, sat down at the chair, looked for an empty one, sat down. Sales manager looked up and he said, wow. I said, what? He says, you're the first engineer that's ever been invited to the department head meeting. Now, was I a better engineer than all the other guys that came before me? No. Well, maybe a little. Was I a better person than all the other engineers before me? Well, I hope so, but not significantly. What made the difference in how I was treated was the way other people saw me. My appearance. A wise old manager told me many years ago, he said, Leon, in the business world, don't dress for the job you've got, dress for the job you want. Because that's the way you'll be seen. And our appearance makes a difference. It's the way that other people see us, and we are to be transformed in our appearance. Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, begin in verse 12 with me. Therefore, as the elect of God, that's us, we're elected of God, we belong to Him, we are selected by Him, holy and beloved. Does that describe you? There's a whole bunch of sermons in here. You young guys, pay attention to this verse. There's a whole bunch of sermons in here that we're not going today. Look here what he says. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. He goes on down and gives a whole description. Verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You see what he's telling us to do? Put Jesus on us. We're not only supposed to, we saw when we change our form that Jesus is in us. Now we're supposed to put Him on over us. So that we, when we're seen by other people, are seen as being like Jesus. Because appearance is important. We have to change. And note that, remember, the description is a dramatic change in our form, in our appearance. What do other people see when they look at us? When other people look at you, what do they see? Do they see the guy that, when the engineer, that when he walked in the room, everybody doubled up his fist? And do they see Jesus and his love? Above all, put on love. And I don't mean sappy Hollywood love. Oh, I was walking down the street, fell in love. Like there was a manhole cover off, and poof, down I went. No, love takes effort. Love takes work. And love means putting, not like the movie, never having to say you're sorry, like the end of the movie where she says, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. She's right. Love means putting the other person's needs and wants ahead of your own. We're to put on love, like Christ did. He put my needs ahead of his. Jesus, God's Son, the Creator of all, all-powerful, almighty, all-knowing, so far above me, I can't even imagine his might, his majesty. And he looked down and said, 2,000 years from now, plus or minus, there's a guy named Leon Brown who's going to come onto this earth, and he's going to need me to forgive his sins so he can come to heaven and be with me. That's love. That's love. I mean, it's one thing for me to say, Brenda, I would jump in front of a speeding bullet for you, because I would. It's one thing for me to say, my sons, my daughters, I would give my life that they could live a good life here on this earth to protect them and save them, and I would. And I know you would too for your sons and daughters. What if somebody said to you, your great, 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 great grandson is going to have a friend who's going to spend most of his time in jail, and I need you to take a bullet so that he'll be able to live? Oh, whole different ballgame, isn't it? That's what Jesus did for me, for you. And my appearance, what I present to the world, what the world sees when they look at me, is supposed to be transformed to be Jesus. Our appearance needs to be transformed so that when the world looks at us, they see him. The other word used in defining transform is character. Our form, our appearance, and our character are dramatically changed. Character, the way we think, the way we feel, the things that cause us to act the way we do. Somebody says, character is the way you act when no one else is looking. Character is what we do when other people won't find out what we've done. An old preacher story about a guy who pulled up along behind a car, stopped in the middle of the road on a rainy, stormy, miserable, awful night. And the rain had been coming down for 3 days and it was still coming down. And here's this guy out there trying to change a tire in the rain. And he's fighting and he's struggling with it. The man stopped. He walked up. He said, sir, is there anything I could do to help you? The guy looked up at him. He said, well, there is one thing. This lug nut's stuck. He said, no, I'm a preacher. If you could just say a few appropriate bad words, it might help. See, that's not character that's good. Because character is what we do when nobody's watching. Character is what we do, what we think about. Look at the music we admire, because that reflects our character. One of my favorite country songs is Jimmy Dean's Big John. Whole song about a man who didn't say much. You want to be thought of as having a good character? Follow Big John's example. Don't say much. But when the chips were down, he gave his life to save men that weren't necessarily his friends. And we like that. I love the country song about Daddy's hands, because to me that epitomizes character. Some of you know that song. I can see some heads moving this way. Either that or you're going to sleep. Daddy's hands firm and gentle when it was appropriate. Hard as iron when it was appropriate. Doing the right thing at the right time, regardless of what's around you, regardless of whether people see it or not. And I would expand that definition of doing the right thing when people are not watching you, when nobody sees you. And I'd say the other half of character is doing the right thing when people are watching you, when it's tempting to not do the right thing. I appreciated so much Wednesday night, I think it was, when Josh talked about being in a classroom and facing a situation where he knew things that were not right were being said. In a whole classroom full of people and everybody's sitting quiet because it's hard to stand up to an authority figure and say, you're wrong. That's not what Scripture says. That's the other half of character. Do you do the right thing when people are watching, even when it goes contrary to what the people around you think it should be? Our character is to be transformed. We admire people who stand for what's right. We even have a popular term for people who don't. We call them two-faced. That's not a compliment. Those who do one thing when people are watching and do something different. Character. And it's a struggle. It's a struggle for all of us. Paul even tells how he had to confront Peter, because Peter was doing one thing in front of one audience and something else in front of another audience. If Peter struggled with it, I know I'm going to. We need to transform our character, what we do when no one else is watching. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus explains it this way. Matthew chapter 6, begin in verse 1. Take heed, there it is. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by men. Otherwise, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You, when you pray, go into your room. When you shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. You see, what's our motivation? Why are we doing what we do? That's what character is. Character is doing the right thing regardless of who's watching, not because of who's watching. And that will change our transformation. It will transform us, because what's in us will come out. You know, what's in you will come out. You don't believe it? Get out there with a hammer and a nail and a board and start hammering, and when you hit your thumbnail, see what comes out. What is in you will come out. And Jesus explained that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach, it is eliminated. He was talking in Matthew chapter 15 about the criticism that his disciples were receiving because they didn't wash their hands. And he said, you don't understand, it's not what goes in, it's what comes out. Because what comes out comes from the heart. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. What's in the heart is what defiles a man. What's in the heart is what matters. And it will come out. That's our character. And Paul says our character is to be transformed. It's to be changed. And it will change if we really are transformed. You see, really what we're talking about is repentance. If we truly change our lives, we'll be transformed. If we truly realize that we need a Savior and act on that need, we'll be transformed. One of the things I noted about the Transformer movies and all those models that my little grandson likes to show me is he'll show me how this car, Papa, becomes an airplane or a helicopter or a rocket ship or whatever it is. And then he looks at me and he grins and he says, and watch, it goes back. See, the problem is we as Christians are to be transformed and not go back. We need to not go back to what we were. We need to stay transformed, and we need to guard against going back. We need to work very hard to stay in the form and the appearance and the character of Jesus. Where are you in your life? Have you been transformed? Have you changed your form and your character, your appearance? Have you become like Jesus? Do you show him in your life? If you haven't, I beg you to do it. Because the reality is, only by being transformed do we have any hope of eternal life in heaven. Only by being transformed do we have any chance of staying on the straight and narrow and ending up in heaven. And transformation is not easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a challenge. You're going to have people pulling at you. You're going to have people tempting you. You're going to have people trying to get you to go back to what you were. It takes work. It takes effort. If you haven't been transformed, if you haven't changed your life, do it today. If you're not sure what you should do, then let's talk. Let's open the Bible and see. Because it's pretty simple and straightforward. But as is often the case, simple and straightforward things can have profound impacts. If you've been transformed, but you've been changing back, or maybe you're in the process of letting things pull you back into what you were, if you need help, if you need prayer, if you need encouragement, come forward and let's do that. If you need to just, it's been just between you and God, and you haven't affected other people around you, and you need to stand up, and while we're singing, you need to pray to God for yourself and get your transformation back on path. Whatever your need is, whether it's public or private, I beg you to change it today. Be ye transformed. Let's stand and sing the song.